Halashing for Halas? Want to bry or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for SN Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning, listeners. You're with Dolores Fouchet of Food by Flavors on this beautiful, I'm going to say summer day, not even spring, because it feels as if summer's come upon us so very quickly. And with it comes new nuances, new feelings, a new ambience in your home and garden, beautiful tables, but fresh and springy and green and yellow and all the beautiful colors that we kind of forgo in winter, we bring with us to spring and summer. Today is indeed a special day. I have with me in the studio the very lovely Romy Rabinowitz. Welcome, Romy.
Hi, Dolores.
And mazel tov, and a huge shkeach on your beautiful book, which I think I'm one of the first people to see in my hands, a beautiful taupey, purpley lilac frame around a beautiful table. Ever So Lovely is the name of the book, and the little byline is Family Favorites. So Romy is well known in all her circles among family and friends for her amazing tables, beautiful Shabbos meals, gorgeous yontif spreads, and everything else that goes with it. Talk to me about the inspiration for your book. Was it a long time coming? How did you plan it? When did you decide? All those little things that our listeners want to know.
So yes, it's actually taken over 5 years, believe it or not, from start to finish.
I believe it, because I've also been trying, and it's very hard to get a book together.
It's very hard, but as I say, it's absolutely been a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
The inspiration started many years ago when Neda Degedutain launched her recipe book. She's actually an award-winning recipe book writer. She's done 5 books.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to launch her book in South Africa for Wietzo. And Wietzo asked if I would host it at my home, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And Neda saw the table and the way everything was put out. And she said she would love to work on a project together.
Wow.
That was many years ago.
Beautiful.
And that kind of planted the seed in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it became COVID.
Okay.
Remember, it was COVID.
I remember. We'll never forget. I think we've forgotten too quickly and forgotten the lessons we need to learn from COVID. Yes.
So while it was COVID, I would make recipes and I would post them on Instagram. And so many people asked me, can't I make a book and put everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dina Diamond actually asked me to do one of those webinars.
Yes, I remember
for
that.
For the Jewish Report, and I did. And Neda happened to be one of the other
Hosts. I remember that.
Yes. And like we started talking and it kind of came up again. And that's basically where the seed was planted. And towards the end of COVID, like maybe 21, 22, I got the lovely ladies who work at the Chev in the fundraising department, and they met me at my home, and I've got like lots of different recipe files, mm-hmm, that I've collected over the years, handwritten recipes, my mom's recipes, my granny's, my mother-in-law's, everybody's recipes that were together in a file. And we went through them all and decided which recipes would be
best
nice
suited
for the book.
To put together a book, yes.
And once all that was done and the recipes were typed up, Neda flew in from Lithuania, and we spent 3 weeks, actually every single day. I did about 10 different recipes, and Neda photographed them all.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a
lot of work.
So
it truly is a labor,
yeah,
of love.
Yes.
And food in itself is a labor,
yes,
of love. And entertaining is too. But it's
exactly
a joyous labor of love,
yes,
and a rewarding one.
Yes.
We're going to have a quick break, and then we're going to carry on talking to Romy Rabinowitz about her beautiful book, Ever So Lovely, just like she is. We'll be back in a sec.
Halashing for us. Want to bry or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
We're talking food and tables and menus and delicious recipes with Romy Rabinowitz, who is launching her new book, Ever So Lovely. So, Romy, talk to me a bit about your personal passions? What do you love to cook? What do you love to prepare? Are you more of a baker? Are you more of a cook? Are you more of a salad person? What tickles your fancy?
I really love, I love cooking. I love entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I love healthy food.
Okay.
I like a clean protein. I love salads. And I love putting everything together in a menu for Shabbos, for a Sunday lunch.
So do you design your menus with care?
With such care.
And balance it with a carb, a salad,
exactly.
A protein, etc.
Yes.
So in the world we live in today, there's so many fusion foods, and there's Asian, there's Italian, there's this, there's Mediterranean tables. And I think that what's happened is that there's been like this enmeshed kind of menu overload. When you're planning your menus or your tables, do you kind of hone in on a singular feel or genre or type of food, or do you do an assortment?
An assortment.
Okay.
I mean, I sometimes, if I want to do like a Mexican evening, I'll mm-hmm. do
a fun taco kind
exactly,
of story.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Something like that with chicken, pulled beef, guacamole, peppers, mm-hmm. chilies, different sauces.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I just pull something together that I think the tastes everybody is going to enjoy.
What is your go-to food? What's your comfort food? What makes you feel good?
What makes me feel good? I love soups.
Me too.
Like I love a minestrone soup with a nice slice of bread. There's a minestrone soup.
Great.
There.
We're going to go right there. We're going to jump in.
Yes.
I see page 86. Let's go right there. And I'm going to share with you one of Romy's soup recipes. Which one do you think we should share with the listeners?
Which one should we share, Dolores? You choose one.
I think because it's so hot and people are also thinking of entertaining for Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot,
yes.
and everything, let's do the baby marrow vichyssoise. What do you think
Wonderful.
Of that?
Wonderful. Stunning.
Because it's so hot right now.
Yes.
For me, soup is an all-weather experience.
Yes.
So even when people say to me, when we're planning a Friday night menu, should we do soup? Oh, no, it's summer. I say, people love soup all
year. I love
year.
Soup.
All year. Yes, you can change the textures and the way we do it, and you don't have to have a thick bean soup in the middle of December. But I think soup is such a wonderful enhancement to any meal. So I'm looking here.
There,
where we go.
It. There it is.
Okay. Wow. This looks delicious. Baby marrow vichyssoise. Who can deny the comfort of a vichyssoise? It's perfect hot or cold, making it a true all year round crowd pleaser. Romy's version is perfectly balanced, grounded in the wholesomeness of potatoes and baby marrows, while onions and leeks bring heartiness to the mix. Add an extra burst of freshness by topping it off with a sprinkle of freshly chopped mint. Here we go, listeners. Two onions sliced. Would they be white onions, Romy?
Yes.
White onions. 350 grams of baby marrow, thinly sliced. 2 cups of boiling water with 2 teaspoons of veg stock powder. Any particular stock powder you favor? Is there something
I like
you,
Ina Palmer's.
Me too, because it has no MSG.
Exactly.
And for me, it's the nicest one.
Me
and
too.
I use it, I use it on roast vegetables. I use
yes.
it in all my casseroles
me
and
too.
Meat dishes. So I love the Ina Palmer. So we've got the 2 cups of boiling water, 2 potatoes, 2 to 3 leeks chopped, salt and pepper to taste. You can use a 250 ml of a non-creamer or coconut milk. And of course, if you're doing a milk meal, I would say a swish of cream at the end.
Definitely.
Is so delicious in a cold soup. So in a pot, you would lightly fry the onions, add the baby marrows and fry until soft, but not too brown, right?
Just
soft. Add the vegetable stock powder and water mixture. Add the potatoes and leeks. My rule with soup, when people ask me of quantities, I always say, just make sure all your vegetables are covered.
In water.
Then you won't go wrong. And then you can always add a bit more, but don't overdo the water.
Absolutely, because then it's not thick.
For sure. Simmer until all the vegetables are soft. Of course, you'll be looking into your pot all the time and testing, but not tasting. After this, liquidize your soup, season to your own personal taste with salt and pepper, and then add your non-dairy creamer. And as I said, a swish of cream if you're doing a milk meal, so delicious, with some mint. And again, I suppose you could serve it in a bowl or little cups or glasses.
For sure.
And I also always say, if you do one special thing in a meal, even for a non-seasoned cook, even for people who are hosting a meal but aren't comfortable or don't trust their inner instincts with food. I think trusting yourself is a big thing with
For
food
sure.
and entertaining and getting comfortable. And that's
yes.
why I also always say to people, don't hone in on every recipe and every ingredient. If you haven't got one thing you can substitute, I'm sure this you could turn it into, if it's not baby marrow, you could make it more leek and potato.
Absolutely.
Or you could turn it into Like the other day, someone wanted a green herb soup. So we took our normal kind of artichoke soup recipe and put in broccoli and patty pans and everything you could think of, covered the pot with water, simmered it exactly this way, and there we had a delicious soup.
Absolutely.
So I think, but if you can inject one special item into every table, it just adds something to it. And it doesn't have to be too expensive or too sophisticated. It's just a bit of effort. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
So let's pretend we're planning a first day lunch meal. How does that
for
sound?
Rosh Hashanah.
For Rosh Hashanah. Let's talk.
So let's talk. So first of all, and I always do this, I plan a week in advance.
Wow.
I start on a Monday starting to think about what I'm going to do. Then on Tuesday, I sit in my kitchen with all my recipe books out and my recipe files, and I write everything down.
Okay.
I write down what I want to do. Next, I write out the menu and the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday and Thursday, I shop.
Wow.
Wednesday, okay. I do my grocery shopping, like my Checkers, etc. And then on Thursday, I will do my Woolies shop or Fresh Fella shop, and then I start cooking what I can on Thursday to get everything ready. Whatever is going to be okay for the next day, I do on the Thursday, and then on Friday I do my last minute things that are better fresh. Thursday, my table is set already, and then I have a stress-free Friday, and I walk into Shabbos
like a guest.
Amazing. Exactly.
Amazing.
So that's what
part of entertaining is being a relaxed host. I have a friend who always goes to certain family members, and she always says she always feels like that family member makes out like it's such a huge effort hosting them that she would rather not be invited.
But if you do it in advance,
systematically and planned,
you plan it,
for sure,
you can have a beautiful entertaining experience and have a beautiful Shabbos.
For sure. So let's talk with Rosh Hashanah this year being on a Monday night, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, many of us need to have all our ingredients on tap by the Sunday, Monday, because we won't be shopping over the Tuesday, Wednesday. So I know for me, I always do a milk first day lunch.
That's
my story.
About a milk.
Because I'm always stressed on the first night. I can never do anything or be gracious or anything of the sort. So first day is my thing. So what I plan to do is, again, I will always do a soup. So if it isn't like something like the vichyssoise, I'll do a gazpacho or a cold cucumber soup. And listeners, the same rules apply. Take a recipe, adapt it to your needs. Even though in this book there are so many recipes for soup, you could find many others if you are the kind of person who wants to go exactly recipe by recipe. I also want to say that having a recipe book is not dictatorial. It must be enjoyed. And you will never find love with every recipe in a particular book. But even if you find 20 that you just love, you've paid for that book 100 times over, because they will become your tried and tested favorites.
Exactly.
And you will be comfortable making them, and they will grace your table with joy, and you will never feel stressed. So every book, of course, talks to different people in different ways. But let's pretend we're planning my first day lunch. So for me, what I would do, and I'm going to find certain recipes here, I would always do a soup. And when people arrive, I'll always have a beautiful bowl of roast nuts. So
wonderful.
Should I share my roast nuts? How I do that?
They are the best.
Okay,
please.
So I always take mixed nuts in a pot, a lot of olive oil, some brown sugar, fresh herbs like rosemary, chili, whatever tickles your fancy. If you want it hotter, you can do some more chili or less chili. And the brown sugar is really what caramelizes it all. So I put it all in a pot and I stir vigorously until the nuts start roasting. And really, that is the secret. You have a beautiful bowl of roast nuts by your bar. That's your first experience for your guests. There you go. So I'll always have nuts at the bar. I know some people don't use nuts on Rosh Hashanah because of egos and the numerology of it. But having said that, nuts are a beautiful way to entertain. I would then do a soup for sure.
For sure.
And I would do
salmon.
Something like spring rolls or
little
potato filos or something like that. Should we look for a recipe? Something
yes,
like, what have we got?
Vietnamese spring rolls.
Amazing. Let's go there.
And
where am I going to find that?
And I would do, I love gazpacho, and I love beetroot soup in little shot glasses.
Me
That's
too.
What I would do with a beautiful celery stick coming out of it with the leaves and the Vietnamese spring rolls. I think that would be a beautiful
starter.
Okay,
so while you find the Vietnamese spring rolls, I'm going to read this for our listeners.
Chalashing for Chalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking menus with Romy Rabinowitz, who has just launched her book, Ever So Lovely, her family favorites. And one of her family favorites, for sure, is Vietnamese spring rolls. Fresh, crunchy, and healthy. Perfect pre-meal snacks. So we were saying that as guests arrive and people come at different times after shul or whatever, it's nice to have something welcome. So I said I always do nuts and then a soup. We spoke about gazpacho or vichyssoise, something like that. And we discussed these delicious Vietnamese spring rolls. So I'm going to share that with you. And again, don't be scared to use rice paper. I remember many years ago, 20 years ago, I was so nervous to use rice paper. But once it's just really practice. And once you do it, it's so easy. So you would take 10-inch rice paper wrappers, which are readily available at the kosher stores like Fresh Fellas, etc. Kosher World, etc. And we're so lucky to have these stores around us. I was going to say that when we were speaking earlier about Woolworths and Checkers and Pick and Pay, we're really lucky in this country, the beautiful produce we have and the checked goods that we can
absolutely
so get so easily. It truly is such an advantage. Greeny leaf lettuce leaves torn into large pieces, 3/4 cup of fresh mint leaves, 3/4 cup fresh cilantro leaves, which are optional because a lot of people don't always love that. Yes. It's a very particular
thing. I know that.
1 cup matchstick carrots. And again, if you can't buy them, you can just chop them really like short little matchsticks. 1 cup of shredded purple cabbage, 1 red bell pepper, 1/2 English cucumber seeded and cut into long matchsticks, 1 avocado, halved, peeled, and thinly sliced, kosher salt, and freshly ground black pepper. One at a time, you would wet your rice paper for 10 to 15 seconds and place on a work surface. Set your lettuce, mint, and cilantro in the center of the wrapper, so everything's already cut and chopped. You're going to top that with some carrots, cabbage, peppers, cucumber, and avo, and season with salt and pepper. Now, to fold it all up, bring the bottom edge of the wrap tightly over the filling and fold in the sides, rolling from the bottom to the top until the top of the sheet is reached. Be careful not to tear the wrapper. Cover this with a damp towel and repeat with each of the wraps. Then here is the most delicious recipe for a peanut dip. 1/4 cup creamy peanut butter, 4 teaspoons of soy sauce, 1 tablespoon of lime juice, 2 teaspoons of brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of chili sauce, and 1 teaspoon of grated ginger. And if I've given that over too fast, I'm sure Romy will share recipes on her website or on her Instagram.
Yeah, sure.
And again, rather buy the book and then you'll have all these recipes available. So we were talking about planning a menu and you were saying, Romy, that you actually keep files of all the menus that work.
Yes, I actually have a book. And whenever I entertain, I write it down. So I've got all my menus from, I don't know, many years, so that it's an easy reference to go back and see what I've done with the pages of each recipe.
Wow, this is a labor of
love.
It's
a labor of love. So then if I remember 2 years ago that I did a lovely Rosh Hashanah lunch, I can always go back and look at it and just tweak it a little bit. But it's a nice reference.
For sure. Okay, so pretend we've got a beautiful table already. And again, tell me what you would be doing for your table this year.
So I love this time of year. It's very springy. I would definitely be using spring flowers in glass jars. Put those down the center of the table, maybe sweet peas, ranunculus, pretty colorful flowers.
Yes.
I would probably use like a raffia placemat,
okay,
a beautiful serviette on the plate. I would put a colorful glass. I would choose a beautiful colorful glass. And yes, I would put beautiful jugs of water and
with
I put dips on the table.
Cut fruit is always beautiful and adds to the table.
Yes, cut vegetables and dips. Yes, that would be the start of my table. That would
for
be
sure
what my table
so
would look like.
So let's talk dips because that's something.
Yes, there are dips here as well.
Great, so we're going to talk dips. So our starters would be, as people arrive, we would have some crystal spring rolls and some soup in shot glasses and a big meze kind of antipasto vibe of dips and breadsticks and pita crisps and et cetera. And a lot of that, really most of it, can be planned well in advance.
Yes.
So let's talk dips. What's your favorite dip?
I love a good guacamole.
Me too. I was just about to say that. I'm an ever person.
I have done quite a few dips in the front of the book. Should we have a look?
Yes, let's have a look. But while we're talking, I'm going to just share what I do with my guac.
Please.
So it's so easy. And I take guac and I take a lot of fresh lemon. Mm-hmm. I love to sometimes grate a little bit of lemon rind in too. A little bit of sweet chili sauce and a bit of sriracha just to give it a kick. So you don't always have to go the sweet. A good dollop of mayo. And again, sometimes I leave the mayo out and just do a more chunky Mexican style guac. And with that, you can even add chopped red onion. And chopped pepper juice, I sometimes do.
Yes.
But that is the way, my take on it. But let's share Romy's.
Mine is also quite the Mexican. Chunky.
So Romy's got her Mexican style of avo dip. 2 large avos mashed with a fork. 1 tomato finely chopped. 1/2 a red onion finely chopped. The juice of 1/2 a lemon. Salt and ground pepper to taste. So there you go. And again, a little bit of effort. And homemade dips are just truly so delicious. While we're on this page, I'm going to share the roast pepper hummus. Also delicious. And if you haven't got time to make your own hummus, you could just buy hummus and add to it 2 red peppers, halved and deseeded, olive oil, salt and pepper. You can place the peppers on a baking tray, drizzle with your olive oil, salt and pepper, bake on 180 until soft, and then scrape out your roasted pepper and add it to your traditional hummus and blend in your food processor until smooth and combined. And sometimes I even love a chunky hummus. It's also
absolutely
delicious.
Yes.
So if you don't want to go the whole hog of using a blender, you can just have that. And again, I do so many hummus dips, and you can use it with beetroot. You can do a green zucchini, broccoli dip. There's so many ways. Hummus is a great and basic staple.
With the fresh vegetables
for
on
sure.
the table, it's
always
great.
Baby corn, sliced cucumber, the little Israeli cucumbers are so
perfect.
Delicious. Rosa tomatoes, beautiful, beautifully available. I love the colors of the red, yellow, green tomatoes. And often just take a beautiful sprig of tomatoes on a vine and just put it on the side.
Beautiful.
Pita crisps, if you don't want to make your own, you can, of course. I generally use all my stale bread and all my pita that I have left over from functions. I strip them and I put on some spices. You can even use a shawarma spice. I found that that works so beautifully. Or a shish kebab kind of spice.
Yes.
So like a barbecue meaty spice on pita. It works so
delicious.
Well in the oven with some olive oil, etc. So there you have a beautiful table. You can have all your vegetables, you can have your guac, and that's a beautiful, hearty starter.
Yes.
We're now going to talk mains. So for me, I always do a fish curry and rice. It's one of the things that
delicious.
I always entertain. In fact, my little invitation to my guests for this year said, same menu, same people, hopefully
Love
different
it.
Conversation. But it truly is. That's the way I entertain. So do you have a nice fish curry or some kind
I've
of curry?
I've done a chicken curry.
Let's
have a look.
Let's look at your chicken curry. You want to find it for
let's
me there?
Let's find it.
So, and again, make your rice ahead of time.
Absolutely.
I'm not too ahead of time because fresh, fluffy rice is so delicious. And I often take finely chopped vegetables and I combine it with my rice. Like you can take peppers, green pepper, red pepper, a little bit of baby marrow, some red onion, fry it in a little bit of olive oil with a little bit of herbs, herbamare, anything like that, and add that to your rice. And again, it just infuses the rice with a new flavor and gives a beautiful side dish. So let's look at Romy's golden chicken curry, and then do you think this is adaptable to fish?
I think you potentially
for sure.
could do it with a firm fish.
A firm fish. So
yes.
I like to use a firm fish,
yes.
and I cut it into little squares, and I actually been using the panko crumbs
They're
to
great.
Crumb the fish, which are so great. And again, listeners, so available to us. We're so lucky to have all these new products on our shelves. So let's listen to how Romy approaches her curry. So it's called her golden chicken curry, and she writes, I love a good curry, and the beauty is in the simplicity. With all your ingredients prepped, measured, out and ready, whipping up a delectable curry is a breeze. Plus, it's perfect for making ahead of time, and that's why I also love it for
yes.
entertaining. And you can reheat later. Enjoy it with fluffy basmati rice, soft roti or wraps, and your favorite sambals. So she takes 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 large onion diced, 5 cloves of garlic crushed, 1 tablespoon of fresh grated ginger, 1 tablespoon of turmeric, 1 tablespoon of garam masala, 1/2 a teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 teaspoon of chili powder, or less if you don't want it so hot. I love the name. What do they call it? Mother-in-law's
yes.
tongue. That's the one mixy spice. But hopefully we all have nice mother-in-law, so we don't go with that. 1 shake of chili flakes, 2 teaspoons of lime juice. Do you use fresh lime juice?
I do.
Fresh lime juice. 1 large carrot diced, and then add your salt and pepper to your taste. Romy has here 1 kilo of boneless, skinless chicken thighs cut into chunks or a mix of breast and thigh schnitzels. Thigh schnitzels, my favorite
Delicious.
Part of the chicken. And again, I love to mix the breast and the thigh.
Yes.
I know I often get requests where some people prefer chicken on the bone in a curry. It's more that the kind of hearty old
curry.
Way Durban curry kind of vibe. But again, I always go for the deboned. One large tin of coconut milk and a large tin of tomato puree. I know that as I said, you get the Indian mix.
Yes.
Made by most of the tinned goods, which are also great, which you can add. So I'm saying to people, yes, you have a beautiful recipe here. This is your basic. Go with it, but infuse it with your own touch and your own feel and your own way.
Absolutely.
Just to make it and to own it and to make it your own. So her method, heat, add your olive oil, add your garlic and onion and saute until fragrant. And there's nothing better than all of that frying up in your kitchen.
Yes, the best. Delicious.
I always have a candle burning on the side just so that the kitchen doesn't over make us too heady with all these flavors. Add your ginger, turmeric, garam masala, cumin, chili powder, chili flakes and lime juice and stir together. Add your carrots and saute until slightly softened. Season the chicken with salt and pepper and add to the pot, stirring everything together. Lastly, add the coconut milk and your tomato puree and stir well to combine. Allow all of this to simmer for 15 minutes with the lid on and then 5 to 10 minutes with the lid off for the sauce to reduce and thicken. And I think I could readily use that on a fish recipe.
Absolutely, yes.
I would take my firm fish, cut it into cubes, season with a bit of salt and pepper, fry as always, and then add it. Thing. And again, if you want to keep your curry separate and use your curry for so many different, you can use it for chicken, you can use it for fish, you can use it for meat. I love having curry in my fridge at all times, like a curry sauce.
I know, and I found that everybody likes it.
Everybody likes
Even
it.
Even my fussy
family.
Yeah. Yes.
For sure. And again, to make it into a vegetarian dish, you could add some potatoes and carrots, some peas, and a tin of chickpeas and lentils.
Delicious.
And even that is so delicious as a curry. We're getting hungry here. It's nearly lunchtime, but we're talking beautiful menus, balanced, and a beautiful table. We were talking tables, and I'm saying for people, if you don't want to overspend on flowers, there's so much available in fresh produce. And just to put beautiful lemons and oranges, some sliced in half with some pomegranates across
beautiful.
Your table. I often do that. Some green leaves out your garden and some bougainvillea leaves, and add even bunches of celery and some leeks and
stunning.
And you're never wasting that because you'll always use it afterwards. So I love actually table decor as vegetables because there's no wastage.
Beautiful.
So again, that makes such a beautiful table. I remember last year I just took plain black cloths to the ground but put over big sheets of brown paper, and that was actually my table. So I did
Wonderful.
Brown paper, and I tied little pots of herbs, some little pots of celery and mint and rocket and rosemary, and it became a beautiful table and so simple. So you don't always have to have beautiful fresh flowers. Of course, flowers just enhance a home and bring color and energy, but beautiful vegetables also.
Fantastic.
So good. Okay, let's talk a pasta.
Well, I find... For the kids, I always do a mac and cheese. They just love it.
Mm-hmm.
I would do a pasta and potentially, I don't think I've put one in the book, just a delicious rosé pasta.
For sure.
Yes.
I've shared so many recipes for Napolitana sauce on this radio show, and anyone can write to me if you need a recipe and I can readily share. So rosé or Aurora sauce, as it's called, is just your Napolitana with a dash of cream.
Yes.
And again, if you want to just be a little bit more exotic, use your fusilli instead of a penne. Just it looks different. And if you want to even enhance that, sometimes I just do mushrooms, olives, and baby marrow. Take 3 vegetables,
Delicious.
Slice it up, saute it very lightly in a pan, and add it to my Napolitana. And there you have a more exotic.
I have done a pesto pasta salad, which
Great.
Is also delicious.
Let's
for
look at
first
that.
Day lunch. Yes.
Great. We're going to definitely
With
look at
roasted
the pesto.
Cherry tomatoes.
For sure. What is your favorite salad, Romy?
I have so many. I love salads.
Me too.
I love a tuna salad with boiled potatoes and green beans.
But for me, a fresh green salad
Delicious.
Is always a go-to.
Yeah,
I always include it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a lot of that Persian cucumber salad.
Yes.
Where you just take your cucumbers and really make it your own. So I
with
take
vinegar.
Cucumbers, and you mush avo all over it. Delicious. So you've got your sliced cucumbers. You can use the baby cucumbers. I take avo. I add to it coriander, yes, some rocket, some toasted walnuts, some grated lemon rind, salt and pepper, all together in a beautiful salad dish and decorate it with some herbs, and that is the most delicious salad.
I have included my every Shabbos green salad that I make every single Shabbos.
Let's go. We're going. We're finding it. It's on page 48. We are looking here through this beautiful book and beautiful photography and inspiration just by looking at the book. And that's one of the things that I love about recipe books, because they titivate the imagination and make you create and become more creative. So as I always say, own your menus, own your table, own your food, and make it your own.
Yes.
So we're going to look here. Which is your basic green salad, the green Godess salad?
No, that's a cabbage salad. My every Shabbos green salad on page 74.
Let's look, and then let's look at your pesto pasta salad.
74.
We're talking food, tables, entertaining, and we both agree that a beautiful, fresh green salad is a must at every meal.
No matter,
it's not boring.
Meal.
It actually is a beautiful accompaniment. And it always just works. Even at every function that I do, I always include a fresh green salad.
Me too.
So here we have, Romy takes 2 packets of baby green lettuce or butter lettuce shredded. I've been using actually the Crunchita lettuce
delicious.
A lot. So delicious. And I find it lasts.
Yes.
So that's a little handy hint. If you're entertaining first day or second day and you need to buy your produce on Monday, the Crunchita lettuce to me really lasts. Stays fresh and green. 7 baby cucumbers sliced into rings. 2 avos cubed. 1 packet of rainbow slaw. There you go. If you can't find it in the supermarket, it's easy to make with julienned carrots, spinach, red and white cabbage, and herbs. 1/2 cup of cashew nuts and 1/2 cup of cranberries. Toss all your ingredients together and then, of course, whisk your dressing. To me, the secret's always in the dressing.
Yes.
There's nothing better than a good dressing. 1/4 cup of olive oil, 1/2 cup of apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of Dijon or whole grain mustard, 4 tablespoons of honey or syrup, and let's use honey because we're talking Rosh Hashanah. And for the vegan people, you can use a date honey.
Delicious.
Often
salad.
Substitute honey with a date honey and a generous grind of salt and pepper. To me, salt and pepper, it's your own. It's your personal taste. And there's a beautiful picture in a beautiful green bowl of a fresh green salad with a delicious dressing. We're now going to talk Romy's pesto pasta salad. And just as I turn the page, I see here she has salads with goat's milk cheese. You can use goat's milk to enhance a salad, a feta cheese, ricotta. Often what I do is I make ricotta balls. So I take ricotta cheese and you can mix it with a red pesto or green pesto.
Delicious.
Roll it into little balls, throw it on top of a regular green salad, and there you have a standout dish.
Any of these are good for Rosh Hashanah.
For sure. And adapting to your own, what you have in your fridge and pantry. Even smoked salmon. Add smoked salmon to a salad. I often add seared salmon to
delicious.
A salad.
Delicious.
We're going to have a quick ad break and then we are back.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking recipes, we're talking tables, and one of the things that Romy said to me, and I so agree with the philosophy, is that she wanted her book to be accessible to everyone, for people to feel comfortable with her recipes. Talk to me a bit about that, Romy.
I felt that, you know, you buy recipe books, mm-hmm. and the pages are filled with words and ingredients, and they can be quite intimidating. Mm-hmm. And I wanted this book to be accessible to chefs of all levels.
Mm-hmm. Even entry level.
Entry level. That's why I think it's great as a beginner cookbook for
wow.
girls who've just gotten engaged and married, and they can take it out mm-hmm. and still have beautiful food that they feel confident mm-hmm. and happy to make.
For sure.
But yet for chefs that have been cooking
a
for
more
a long
sophisticated
time.
Chef.
Exactly.
For
I
sure.
wanted it to be available for chefs of all levels.
Amazing.
That was my main aim
sure.
of the book.
And I also feel after 20 years of doing so many functions week in and week out, people truly just want delicious food. They
yes.
don't always want the fanciest. Yes, of course, some occasions call for it, and sometimes you want a beautiful plated meal with a sprig of chives tied around a lamb chop or whatever. But at the end of the day, give someone something comforting and hearty and delicious. And that's truly what people want. It's like when we design menus and then they say crispy chicken strips for the kids or burgers for the kids or pizza for the kids. I always say, no, no, no. It's everyone. Everyone loves a good burger. Everyone loves a good freshly fried chicken strip, you know. So all recipes for all people. Let that be our mantra.
Exactly.
So I'm going to share with you now the pesto pasta salad with roasted cherry tomatoes. Looks so beautiful, looks so sophisticated, but Romy makes it so easy by unpacking step by step and giving you just all the hints you need to create this beautiful table. So here we have one punnet of cherry tomatoes cut in half, olive oil, salt and pepper, 500 grams of pasta, and here she's used the fusilli. I love fusilli because it just looks so beautiful and pretty. Two cloves of garlic peeled, a quarter cup of pine nuts or walnuts, 6 cups of fresh basil, stems removed and tightly packed, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of lemon juice, 3/4 cup of olive oil, and 1/3 cup of grated parmesan. I love the addition of the parmesan.
Yes.
Adds a touch. You're going to roast your cherry tomatoes by placing them on parchment paper on a sheet pan, drizzled with olive oil and sprinkled with salt and pepper. And again, if I can just interrupt there and say, so many roast vegetables can be done that way. People are sometimes so scared of roasting vegetables, but truly, it's so easy.
So
salt,
easy.
Pepper, if you want to add fresh herbs, excuse me.
I actually have a whole board of how to do it in this book.
Wow, there you go. Listeners, you can look at her handy hints on how to roast vegetables. So many people ask me that, and
yes.
It's such a fearful, sometimes people get scared to roast vegetables. But again, I say just salt, pepper, herbs
and
of your choice.
Oven.
I use parchment paper for everything.
I just a
great protective liner for any dish or pan. You're going to roast your vegetables at 225 for 3 to 4 hours. If you don't have time for this, you can roast the tomatoes until they're soft and blistered. While your tomatoes are in the oven, put the pasta on to boil. Drain and set aside once done. Make your pesto in a food processor by pulsing your garlic until finely minced. Add your nuts and pulse again. Then add your basil, salt, pepper, and lemon juice and pulse again. While the process is still running, add your olive oil until everything is well blended. Very lastly, add your cheese at the end to combine. And again, I often leave out cheese, as you've mentioned here, to keep my pesto dairy-free, and I add the cheese in when I need to.
Exactly.
What you also could do here is add a delicious sprinkling of parmesan over the salad right at the end, which would even give more flavor.
I do that.
By tossing the pasta and the vegetables and the tomatoes through with the pesto. So you would add your pesto to your pasta and stir through, sprinkle the roasted tomatoes and top with fresh basil leaves. And here you have a beautiful floral dish, quite more like a bowl, this one, the shape of it, and it looks too delicious for words. So we're talking recipes, we're talking tables. What are you planning for your hugs this year? What's in your head?
I'm actually doing second night.
Okay.
Rosh Hashanah, so you have to be exceptionally organized.
So talk this through with us.
I like doing traditional on Rosh Hashanah. I probably will make chicken soup and pierogi, which is all in the book. I may even ask my mother to make me tzimmis.
Okay.
But if not, I will probably do my Omar's pickle brisket.
Okay.
Also in the book.
Great.
Delicious.
So a boiled pickle brisket.
A boiled pickle brisket.
So you use a fresh brisket.
A pickle brisket.
And you boil it.
Yes, with onions and tomatoes. Onions and carrots.
Okay.
And for quite a few hours till it's nice and soft.
Okay.
I let that cool, and with an electric slicer,
slice it thinly.
Pour over the sauce and then bake it
delicious.
In the oven. Delicious. The recipes.
And
in
can
the
you
book.
Use that pickled brisket as a cold brisket sliced?
You definitely could.
For sure.
If you
want a more casual lunch on second day or whatever, you can always use
that. Yes, for sure.
Delicious.
For sure
with
can.
Some rye bread and pickled cucumbers and a big salad, and there you have another whole meal.
Yes, and I love using recipes of my grannies
for
and
sure.
my mom's, especially at Yontif time.
For sure. It's the nostalgia. And I always say food isn't only about what you eat. It's about the memory and the feelings that come with that meal.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I would do definitely a chicken dish, for sure, for those people who don't like meat.
What chicken dish would you opt for?
You know, there's a very nice chicken marbella.
Okay.
That a friend of mine gave me and I've included in the book. That's okay. Something different. Or even just a delicious herb chicken mm-hmm. with fresh herbs and some mustard, the whole grain mustard mm-hmm. and some vinegar. And what else is in that recipe? And some brown sugar. That's also a delicious recipe. Mm-hmm. That's my herb chicken recipe.
Okay.
I would do a kugel. Potato kugel, a nice potato kugel.
Okay.
I would do a nice vegetable board, mm-hmm. like what we were discussing, and a delicious green salad.
Mm-hmm.
And then for dessert, I would definitely do something Rosh Hashanah based, such as
baked apples
stuffed with oats. There's also a recipe in there. I think I would do my other granny, Joy, who I call Annie. I would do her apple cake.
Okay.
I would do fresh fruit. I would do a honey cake, and that would be a delicious Rosh Hashanah menu.
And so in the feel of the chag and
exactly
taking the chag with you into your meal.
Absolutely.
So delicious. So I know I am actually not a baker, but in my heart, I'm more of a cook. And I always opt for easy when I'm doing it myself. I mean, obviously for functions, it's different. And thank God I have beautiful bakers around me in my shop. But I often just take vanilla sponge cake and I slice off the top. And then I make like an apple stew kind
delicious.
Of vibe with apples and cinnamon and raisins and sultanas, etc., with a bit of grated lemon, some brown sugar, a dash of honey. Let that simmer in a pot. And I call it my deconstructed apple cake. I pour it over my vanilla sponge cake. And then the crumbs that I've actually cut
sounds
off the
amazing.
Top of the cake, I crumb in the oven and just toss that over the cake with some fresh mint and some more grated lemon. And there you, for those of you who don't want to tackle a whole baking scenario, that's an easy apple cake for Rosh Hashanah.
Absolutely.
And a hot pudding, would you look at?
Yes, I've got one in here as mm-hmm. well. And as you say, I always say it's for the kids, but the adults, I think, love
adults
it even
love
more.
Kids' food.
I do a chocolate brownie pudding, mm-hmm. also in the book. So delicious, so
okay.
easy. Yes, I think that would be my Rosh Hashanah menu.
Amazing.
Chalashin for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We've been talking recipes with Romy Rabinowitz, who is launching her book Ever So Lovely, just in time for Ola Chagim. So hopefully it will give you lots of table inspiration, lots of recipe inspiration, and take the angst out of catering, because I think half of it is really the worry and the anxiety and will they love it or will my guests feel comfortable. And as I always say, making your guests feel comfortable and not being an over anxious host is part of the enjoyment of your guests. So we're going to save the best for last and ask Romy about her special challah that she would do for chag.
So I have given a challah recipe here.
Okay.
And what I would do for chag is I would put apples inside. I would cut up some golden delicious apples and I would put some cinnamon and sugar on them and I would include that in my dough.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then sprinkle some streusel topping on top. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like an apple cake challah.
I love cakey challah. It's my
it's
best
delicious,
thing in the whole.
And I always do this for Rosh Hashanah. And it's delicious.
So delicious. And when would you make that? On the Monday, obviously.
Challah actually freezes very well.
Okay.
And that you can bake the challah. And while it's still hot, you can absolutely freeze it and
okay.
take it out and warm it up mm-hmm. if you want to save yourself some time.
Sometimes.
I obviously love doing it fresh on Friday, but mm-hmm. in scenarios such as this, you
for
can't.
Sure. Yeah.
So I would
yeah.
do that.
Excellent. Excellent. So one of the, what Romy just mentioned, is freezing it from fresh. And I always
yes.
find that when baked goods, when you freeze from fresh, it always lasts so much better. Whether it's any kind of breads or cakes or whatever, if you make something and you want to freeze, it's always better to freeze from fresh.
I really try not to freeze.
Yes.
I like to mm-hmm. do them fresh on the day or the day before.
Mm-hmm.
It's only in situations where you
can't.
You
there's
have
nothing
to.
Better than fresh. Fresh is part of the meal. Fresh
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
You can taste the difference always.
And I wanted to say, by using this book, because it is so accessible, I wanted to, as you say, take out the fear of cooking and that people know they can take this book and it will be easy and they don't have to be fearful
mm-hmm.
and yet they're going to still have a delicious meal.
For sure, for sure. And I know people, it's often, it boggles the mind. Oh my God, I've got 20 people. What am I going to do? But as you say, plan ahead, write out your menu, plan your recipes, plan your ingredients, do it step by step, and then the angst kind of
exactly.
whistles away.
So you're not on the day and you're frantic and frazzled, you need to plan in advance.
For sure.
And also in case, just let's say, and it happens, your cake flops.
For sure.
You can redo it if you've done it the day before. If it's on a Friday afternoon and you're frantic, you don't have a chance to redo it.
And again, it depends what kind of cake you're making. But if I have a cake that flops, I sometimes pretend it's a deconstructed cake.
Yes.
So I make a summer pudding out of it. Or if I try to make a big chiffon cake the other day and it didn't rise as I wanted it to, in this is at home, and I kind of broke it all up, took some meringues, crushed it over.
Delicious.
In a pot, I took some strawberries and blueberries and I just did it with a little bit of Shabbos wine and some honey in a pot.
A happy accident.
Exactly. And I'm just trying to encourage people to not be scared when something goes wrong. And then I drizzled all of the kind of the coulis over the cake and everyone thought that's the way it was supposed to have been.
Delicious.
I said, there we go. This is a summer pudding, everyone. And it was lapped up and delicious. Again, just another easy way of entertaining because not everyone wants to bake. I'm sure you've got a meringue recipe in here or a pavlova, do you?
Have I put in a pavlova? I don't think I have a meringue.
Okay, but I'm happy to share also any of my meringue recipes. If people want to approach me, I'm happy to put it on my Instagram. Is take a pile of meringues and do a deconstructed pavlova story. So easy for entertaining. So you can have a pile of meringues, some freshly cut fruit, your nectarines, your melons, whatever's available, pineapple, all thinly sliced with a bunch of mint leaves, and then just make a berry coulis on the side, and then people can take a meringue.
Sounds
you
amazing.
Can beat some Ollie Whip or Riches, or if you're doing a milk meal, some cream, and there you have a beautiful deconstructed pavlova
brilliant
platter.
Idea.
Yeah, easy for people who don't want to go the whole hog of baking and cooking. We have come to the end of our show, believe it or not. It has been such a pleasure having you with me, Romy Rabinowitz, giving you so much love and luck for the launch of your book.
Thank you, Dolores.
I wish I could be there on the 14th of September.
I'm a huge fan of you.
Thank you.
We love your food.
Thank you so much. And I'm so happy and grateful to be a part of such a food family. I take it it to heart. So
we
thank you.
We all love you.
And
thank
best
you
of
so
luck.
Much.
And for all of you out there, I'm sure there will be ways to find the book. Where will the book be available?
So I'm doing a launch on the 14th of
for
September.
Sure.
And then I will have payment links. And
excellent.
Hopefully in the Jewish shops.
There you go, guys. You have a beautiful book. And as Nigella Lawson said, and I so agree with her, I'm the sum of all the books I've read and all the recipes I've made. So wishing you all a beautiful month ahead, planning all these beautiful chagim. Let's remember that as we sit around our tables, there are those who can't. So we think of those too. Lots of love to all of you and wishing you a beautiful month ahead.